Welcome to Missionize with the Missions Guys, a podcast of the Arkansas Baptist State Convention, offering biblical and practical insight and strategies designed to equip and encourage missions leaders to carry on mission work. The goal is to fulfill the Great Commission from a church's local community to the ends of the earth. That is why we missionize. Now here are your hosts, the Missions Guys, Sam Roberts and Clint Ritchie.
Welcome to Missionize. I'm Sam, and with me is Clint, and we are so grateful that you have joined us at the beginning of this new year, 2026. With that, Clint, let me say happy birthday, Missionize.
That's right, yeah.
Hey, we just bypassed the two-year mark on our way to year number three.
Here we are. It's a great reason to celebrate. I think we ought to have some cake or something today.
Yeah. So we're celebrating a happy new year and the beginning of year number three. I've got my coffee. You've got your water. We'll just say that'll do it for the festivities.
That's right.
For the day.
Yes.
Hey, today, as we began, we do want to say thank you to those who have spent the last couple of years. We've got a few folks who have been with us that entire time. Got a few folks that join in from time to time, you know, new people. There's always room for more at the table and to discuss these issues of the mission of the church. And we would love for you, if you are a regular listener to these episodes, hey, would you just share that with a couple of your friends in ministry that may benefit from some of the things that you have heard over the last couple of years? We make the same promise to you that we made at the very beginning, that we are going to make this podcast biblically based. We're going to focus on the mission of the church. We're going to make it very practical in talking about issues that affect us as pastors and mission leaders within the church. And so with that, if you could help us get word out, we would greatly appreciate it. Like this episode, leave a comment, whatever else you do to help us get the word out, we would greatly appreciate that. You want to say anything to our listeners as we begin there, Clint?
Yeah, just as like you said, thanks for listening. It's always always good to hear from folks, get a random text every now and then about content speaking. And if we misspeak, we definitely get those texts.
Yeah.
And, so it's been a fun journey. Look forward to what this year holds. And, you know, it's been just think about the number of folks we've had on here from where we started and topics we've had. And we've been through now our second executive director we've had them both on. And Dr. Dance says he'd listened before taking the job, and so I'm glad he still took the job after listening to us. But, you know, in spite of all the changes and things, and as we look back just at our world over the last 2 years, one thing that hadn't changed is our mission.
That's exactly right. Stays the same, doesn't it?
That's right.
We are called to make disciples of all people. And we've got to keep that at the forefront of the church. We are called to honor God, that God would receive the glory in everything that we do. I'd like to read a passage of Scripture that I think is really relevant for the beginning of a new year. It comes from Paul's letter to the Colossians. And just one sentence, here's what Paul said. Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. That's a great scripture for the beginning of the year, that all that we do would be done for the glory of God in the name of our Lord Jesus. And that is the mission that we have. Now, the last episode that we had at the conclusion of 2025 was all on planning and evaluation. Maybe it was a couple of episodes before the end of the year. Can't remember exactly when we had it in the schedule. Yep. But we talked about evaluation. And I think one of the things that we can continue to do and need to do throughout the year is to evaluate the activity, the life of the church, in light of the mission of the church, to see if we are staying true to the purpose, the mission that God has given to us, or are we kind of drifting away from that? And that leads us into an article that we want to discuss by our good friend Chuck Lawless, who entitles this article, 12 Signs That a Church is in Mission Drift. Now, that may be a new term for some people out there, mission drift. So let's take a moment and kind of look at that, define that. What are we talking about when we talk about mission drift? What comes to your mind, Clint?
Well, it's not something that happens just immediate or drastic. The word drift there, you know, is you, and I think about being on a boat and, you know, you're on a boat fishing somewhere and all of a sudden you realize I'm further away from the shore than I once was. Or even I'm closer than I once was. And it just happens gradually over time and may not even reflect any decisions that you made, or could be the lack of decisions that lead to you getting into this place of mission drift.
Yeah, in 2014, there was a book written by the executive team of Hope International, and the title of the book was Mission Drift. And basically in the book, here's how they defined it. They defined it as a drifting away from the purpose, the original purpose of the church, the original intent. Now, of course, they weren't talking just about the church. They're talking about any organization, especially those organizations that have a specific purpose to bring honor and glory to God. That was their chief focus. But they also looked at other organizations because, as we've talked about in previous episodes, when we talked about complexity and simplicity, we talk about how organizations tend to drift toward complexity, you know, away from simplicity, and has to be an intentional focus to get back to doing things in a simple way. It's the same thing when we're talking about an outward focus in the church, when we're talking about evangelism. We don't drift toward evangelism. We drift away from evangelism. Yeah. We become so accustomed to everything around us and the way that things have always been done, and we tend to drift away from that. So that drifting away, as you said, is not something that occurs overnight. It usually is culmination of a lot of things that happen over years. It's something as well that happens in subtle ways. Maybe it's not, like you said, a definite decision. Maybe it was no decision, you know, but it's subtle ways that this happens. Wes Stafford, who is the president of Compassion International, reminds us of this. He says, no organization is exempt from the danger of drifting away from its original mission. And that includes the church.
Yeah.
So how can we tell if our church is in danger of mission drift? That's what we want to look at with this article from Chuck Lawless on 12 Signs That a Church is in Mission Drift. Why don't you take that first one, Clint?
Yeah, he says if a church has a mission statement, nobody knows it. And he even points out this can be pastoral staff, you know, that is only words on a website. It's not anything that is driving the ministry or the mission of the church.
Yeah, and if nobody knows the mission statement, that means it's not really that important.
That's right.
You know, there has to be an intentional effort on the part of leadership to get that mission purpose, that mission statement, out in front of the people as often as we can. What are some of those ways, Clint, when you were serving as a pastor, that you kept the mission of the church in front of the people?
Well, let's go ahead and let's combine this with the second thing.
Okay.
Because I think it speaks there. He says, the second is no one can speak of a clear direction for the church. Obviously, your mission statement drives your direction.
Exactly.
And so I think, you know, as a pastor, even in your preaching and in your praying, you are reminding people of the mission and the direction. If nobody knows the mission, then nobody's going to know the direction. There probably is no direction. And so where there's no vision, Scripture says people perish or they cast off restraint. And probably all of us have seen whether churches or organizations that have lived through those moments. Those are not fun for anybody. There's just a wandering that goes on. So when you're in mission drift, you don't know your mission statement, and really you're wandering. You're drifting along. Nobody really knows where you're going. And as the old saying is, if you don't know where you're going, you'll hit it every time, you know. So you had to have some purpose. And so again, I think as thinking of pastoral leadership, you know, you're reminding your people of that through your messages. You know, the first of the year is a great time to take either a Sunday or even multiple Sundays and, you know, preach on vision and direction. Remind your church where you've been, but also where you're going. And we talked about that in that episode you mentioned at the end of last year. But I think it's just vital for us to evaluate our preaching and, again, our praying. Because when there is no clear direction, nobody knows the mission statement or the mission of the church, we're going to stray toward an inward focus. And so our praying and our preaching is going to become very inward that then leads the church that direction. So while we say there's mission drift, really we're drifting inwardly with an inward focus in everything that we do.
Yeah, something you said just a second ago reminded me of a Charlie Brown cartoon from a few years ago. That there's in the comic strip there, there's a picture of Chuck, and he's got a bow and arrow, and there's a fence in front of him, and on that fence are all of these bullseyes that he has, and each one of those bullseyes has an arrow right in the center, and Lucy comes in, and she is just beside herself on what a wonderful shot, you know, Chuck is, and she's just congratulating him. And how did you do this? And he said, oh, it's easy. I shoot the arrow at the fence, and wherever it hits, I draw the bullseye. Oh. that is no clear direction for the church.
That's right.
We may see something happen and say, oh, that's all part of the purpose. But there's really no intentionality to that.
Yeah.
There's no direction that is given. One of the ways that in Stuttgart and other churches that I've served, that we kept the mission statement in front of the people is, you know, through a new members class, where folks who joined the church, whether they were coming from another church or they came through salvation and baptism, would go to a new members class, and we would lay it out in front of them. This is the mission of the church. These are the verses of Scripture this is based upon. This is what we do as a result of the mission of the church, to support the mission. You know, it's the same sort of thing that we do here at ABSC, at this organization.
Yeah.
There is a purpose we have of assisting our churches, and everything we do fulfills that purpose. So we keep that at the center of the entire conversation.
Yeah.
Number three is this. Chuck says a lot of stuff other than the Great Commission has grabbed the attention of the church. He says sometimes that's simply trying to live in what is essentially maintenance mode. You know, just maintaining, just getting by, just surviving, just getting from one Sunday to the next. Hey, we had a good service. Whew. Boy, glad that's over. Hopefully we can get through next Sunday. Sometimes he says it's continually dealing with internal conflict, but there's other stuff that kind of takes the place of the Great Commission. Instead of the Great Commission being the focus, this other stuff becomes the focus. Maybe we need to ask ourselves as leaders in the church, a very direct question. What is that stuff that has taken our focus off of the Great Commission?
Yeah.
Great evaluation question. You know, as we look at everything we do, as we look at how we spend our time this week, is that Great Commission focused, or is it focused on other stuff outside of the Great Commission?
And I think a lot of times the other stuff has a voice that comes with it that's reminding us of the urgency of that stuff.
Yeah.
And I don't know about you, but never as a pastor did anybody ever urgently and forcefully come and remind me of the Great Commission and say, you know, hey, we really need to be focused on this, but it was the other stuff that is there.
Exactly.
And when that, you know, and we could talk a whole lot about, you know, who are we trying to please? But if we do get focused on pleasing people, and because they are the ones that are right there in front of us, the other stuff is going to be what gets our attention. And then when it gets our attention, that becomes oftentimes the focus of the mission.
Yeah.
The fourth thing he says is that the church speaks of the good old days rather than hope for the future. Mm. You know, we've all been in churches that had great histories. And those should not be forgotten nor neglected.
That's right.
But
the need tendency, to be celebrated.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah, the tendency though is to hold on to the days of the past that are not coming back.
Yeah, we've all heard that old adage: if the 1950s come back, we're ready for
ready.
It.
Yes.
You know.
Exactly. You know, and in these churches that's holding on to the good old days, change seldom happens. Probably everybody knows it needs to. But it doesn't. And, you know, I think the Revitalize and Replant guys, our friends there, Clifton, those guys have really, what spoke to me in a lot of stuff they do when they talk about change is that we're resistant to change in the church because church is one of the few places where there's very little change.
Mm-hmm.
And so it becomes our place of comfort. You know, we can go sit in the same pew, see the same people, had the same order of service. It is a place in a world that is ever changing, often doesn't change. And, you know, that's to the detriment. So we're not talking about change just to change, but here we're talking about holding on to the days that aren't going to return that cause us to drift from our mission.
Yeah. And, you know, when you look at the whole of Scripture, Clint, there are multiple examples of God's people called to look back and remember. That's why festivals, you know, the Old Testament.
That's right.
It was to remember what God has done. So there is that constant looking back. But if anything, the Scripture calls us to look forward, you know, to what God is doing. And the prophets often say, God is doing a new thing. Yeah. You know, a new thing in front. And I'm preaching with my hands right now.
Yeah.
We should have this on video, you know. But there's always that tension. I guess you can say tension. But maybe it's more like a dance routine that, you know, yes, there's the looking back, but there's also the looking forward. I'm not dancing right now, but the looking back, the looking forward, because our God is a God who's leading us forward into a future of following Him more closely, of obeying Him more fully, a future that, you know, we look to Revelation and we know where the future is, but God is always calling us ahead. You know, Mark Halleck, who's going to be with us at Econ in a little later on this month. Mark has a book entitled God's Not Done With Your Church. Great look at, you know, there are so many churches that are just seem hopeless. You know, look at the situation, and all they can do is talk about the past. You know, what God has done in the past, what we experienced in the past. And this little book just calls us to look at what God is doing and what God wants to do. That, you know, no one wants God's glory to be reflected in the local church like God does.
Yeah.
And so He's constantly calling us forward. There's one of the good things about that book, just key golden things, I would encourage everybody to get it, take a look at it, read it, are some questions, because those questions are more evaluation questions at the end of each chapter. There were a couple of questions that I wrote down that go along with this point. Halleck says, is there a golden age of our church we are determined to get back to? How are we tempted to live in the past? Are we content if things never look as they once did? Those are great questions to ask as we look at, do we speak more of the good old days, or do we speak more about the hope for the future of where God is leading us? Number five is this. They can speak of no new outreach ministries in the last several years. And that's primarily because they've turned inward. There's no outward focus. There's no thinking about the Great Commission. There's no concern for the needs within the community, but it's all about our needs. So we can tell if we are in danger of mission drift with, are we looking inward or are we looking outward?
Yeah, and that comes closely into number six, because we can look at our budget and tell if we are inward or outwardly focused. And Chuck says, number six, the church budget is just a document. It has no intentional Great Commission prioritization. That's a big word there, but it's not prioritizing the Great Commission. In fact, it may be the same budget they've used for years.
Yeah, kudos for you for pronouncing it correctly.
Yeah, well, you know, it took a bit. But, you know, I think in the budgeting process, and there may be guys that hear that and kind of shiver because they've just come out of it as the end of the year wrapped up. But it can become a tendency just to plug and play. You know, you're moving stuff around. But when have you looked at your budget through the lens of the Great Commission?
Yeah.
And if you good look and the majority of your budget, the vast majority of your budget is for taking care of facilities and paying staff and taking care of the people in your church, then you have forgotten the Great Commission.
Yeah. Number seven kind of goes along with that as well. It's part of that budgeting process. And Chuck talks about church hires positions. And he says the church hires positions just like they always have, without much consideration for the greatest need to help reach people and make disciples. In other words, we've always had this particular position. Somebody leaves, we're going to hire somebody for that position. When there's an exit, whether that's through retirement or someone just decides God's not leading them in that direction any longer, what an excellent time to look at that position and to say, does this position fulfill the mission of the church? How or has it drifted away? So the positions that we have, part of that budgeting process to see if this helps us reach more people, helps us make more disciples. Staffing is part of that mission drift, or helping us to stay true and focused on the mission.
And I think that can apply to lay leadership as well.
Sure.
You know, you have somebody that can't serve, can continue to serve. Maybe somebody moves, somebody passes away. And again, we think we've got this position. It may be whether it's a position on committee or, you know, whatever you've got. But the issue becomes we got to get somebody in there. But I think it's good to step back and to ask, does this position need to look different? Do we need to even get rid of this? And that leads us to number eight, is in the name of unity, the church is unwilling to make hard decisions to get back on track with mission. And Chuck says that those tough decisions might involve staffing, spending, polity, or sacred cows. And the problem is nobody's willing to make the call.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you don't want to upset anybody, especially if you maybe have had a difficult time in the life of your church and you've come out of that and now things are peaceful, they're calm, and you just don't want another fight. And so you just let the hard decisions, you let the ball continue to roll down the hill.
Yeah, and that just adds to the drifting away from the mission.
Yep.
When in the name of unity, we don't want to make hard decisions, yep. You know.
Yep.
And then number nine, the church has grown comfortable with only transfer growth. No longer burdened about reaching non-believers, growth by swapping sheep is sufficient for them. Just so at the end of the year, we can say, hey, we've had new folks come into the church. That's a sign of new life, yep. You know. And we're content with that. We're comfortable with that. I just hope and pray for our churches that as they look at attendance, as they look at membership, and if they see this trend toward, hey, we're seeing fewer and fewer people come in through salvation and baptism and more, a higher percentage through transfer growth, that they begin to look at the mission. And yes, we want to celebrate everybody who comes into the church. There's a reason that person comes. I always taught as a pastor, hey, you know, God has a purpose for sending everyone here. Believe in the sovereignty of God. I extend it that way. God has a purpose. God has a plan. In that new member training, we would always talk about that with yeah. these new folks. There's a reason you're here. You know, we want to help you find that reason and equip you for that purpose. But we want to make sure that, you know, we're always keeping in front of the people the need to reach more, to reach yeah. those as we've talked about multiple times, the people in our community who do not know Jesus.
That's right. You know, and I think, and this is a whole other topic, but, you know, there's transfer growth that somebody comes from a church across town because they got upset, and there's transfer growth that maybe somebody that had been out of church for a long time, and the Lord, yeah. you know, has worked in their life. They realize where they were. They may not have connections to the church across town, but it, as a sign of their discipleship, they have, you know, joined another church locally. So I think it comes back to having those metrics. What are we celebrating? And we talked about that in that episode at the end of the year. You know, let's look at discipleship. Let's look at the change in people's life. And you can do that when you know what your mission is. But when you drift, you're just glad to have just anybody that comes. And so you may forget about the purpose and realize that God's sending you people to help you achieve your mission.
Yeah, exactly. And I think the important thing on this ninth sign of mission drift is that the church, that there's a comfortableness
yeah.
with only transfer growth.
Yeah.
You know? That there's no emphasis, there's no focus on reaching other people. And when we lose that focus, then we're drifting away from the mission. What's right. number 10?
Number 10 is outsiders see the church as only drifting along, but no one in the congregation is having that conversation. So it's people outside the church see the problem.
Yeah.
It's those inside the church that are dull to that. And so there are times that you need a fresh set of eyes.
Exactly.
You need someone to help look at where things are and help you see from a different perspective. And that's one thing I'm really excited about, an opportunity that churches in our state have to get this perspective. Dr. Sam, tell us about Renew Arkansas.
Yeah. Coming up, Econ, which is January 26th and 27th. You can look at absc.org. It's right there on the main page. Econ, we've got a lot of great speakers that are coming in. We do have Mark Halleck, who's going to talk about replanting and revitalization. Who else do we have on our list there?
Yeah, we've got Ben Mandrell,
Ben?
Mark Middleburg, and Levi Skipper.
Okay. Great slate of folks that are going to speak into us. I think that Tuesday is going to be workshops with each of those, and just some good workshops that Warren and his team have put together, designed for us, that are going to help you practically put into place in your church some steps for evangelism, for more outreach within the local congregation. But one thing we're going to roll out, we kind of teased this at the annual meeting, is Renew Arkansas. It's a new emphasis that we have within our state that's going to be with us for quite a few years. And I hope for a long, long time. I hope it outlives me.
Yeah.
I hope it's something that continues, because it's something that is needed now but will be needed in the future. You know, we can dream of a time when it's not needed, but I think we can all say that, you know, one of the things we mentioned with our purpose statement is every church renewed and always renewing for the glory of God and the good of his community. So we're really focused on assisting churches, helping churches to revitalize. You know, looking at these things we've talked about, like in the signs of missional drift or other episodes that we've done, and seeing where we may need to return to the focus of loving Jesus with our whole heart, our mind, our soul, everything that we have, returning to a missional focus for the church. And so through Renew Arkansas, we're going to set up some opportunities for pastors to mentor pastors, for groups to work together. We're bringing the AMs into this process, state convention staff into this process. Everybody's going to be on board to help your church become healthier, revitalized, renewed, to the purpose, to the mission that God's called you to. So you're going to hear a lot more about that during Econ this year. There's going to be some resources there. And we're just looking forward to a great year of helping our churches renew and always renewing for the glory of God.
Yeah, I mean, this is a great opportunity to get an outside perspective. Mm-hmm. Again, nobody's going to tell your church what to do.
Exactly.
But to have somebody come alongside you that has been involved in revitalization, that has led in those efforts previously or even currently, to have them walk along with you, but then also to give you a outsider's perspective on what's really going on in your church.
Exactly. Hey, let's go ahead and hit number 11 here. Number 11 is some staff members, particularly those who think outwardly, are either frustrated with their jobs or looking for others. Another sign of mission drift is when you've got some sharp staff, and I would say even members of the church.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, that are focused outwardly, but they're starting to consider going somewhere else, simply because, not because God's leading them that direction, but their heart, their passion is not being fulfilled where they currently are in this church, because this church is drifting away from the mission. Chuck says they realize the urgency of the hour and their work for an unfocused church seems fruitless. You know, always said with leaders, and we've read this with leadership gurus that we follow, you know, leaders are going to lead, and if they're unable to do that in the local church, they're going to find another where they are.
Yeah.
Those who have an outward focus, who have a heart for evangelism, who want to see people come to Jesus, who want to make disciples, they're not going to be content if they're the only person in the church doing that.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to look for like-minded brothers and sisters who have that same focus, and we wind up losing them. So if you see that kind of track record, that those leaders who have come up in the church, who have an outward focus, and they begin to drift away from the church to another church, that could be a sign of mission drift within the church.
And I would say that specifically with the younger generation.
Oh, exactly.
That we've been saying for years that they have not ridden off the traditional church, but they want to see that they're part of something that's making a difference.
Yeah, exactly. You saw that just recently with Christmas in the Delta, didn't you?
Oh, yeah, sure did.
Yeah.
great opportunity. You know, college students that were willing to do whatever was asked of them, and some very physical labor because they saw it was making an impact.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, see that true across the board. Hey, last thing here that shows that we are sign that we're in mission drift is that the church is likely baptizing fewer and fewer people. Mm. And we referenced that earlier when we talked about transfer growth. But seldom does the church see the life transformation that occurs with conversion. And the problem is when you're mission drift, nobody seems to be concerned about that. Mm. That people know the baptism waters haven't been stirred and it doesn't burden them. And that is a sign of you are in mission drift.
Yeah.
And probably when you get to that point, you see all these other signs are true as well.
Yeah. Hey, as we wrap up, let me just draw your attention back to the Mark Hallock book, God's Not Done With Your Church Yet, or God's Not Done With Your Church. There's a chapter there called What's Next? And at the end of that chapter, Hallock gives us 5 steps. I want to just read these real quickly because I think it kind of wraps up everything we said. Number one, seek God's leading through prayer and Scripture. Go back over, listen to this episode again of these 12 signs that a church is in mission drift to see if this is your church. Seek God's leading through prayer and Scripture. Number two, honestly evaluate your church's current condition. Take these 12 steps. Hey, are these indicators in our church? Do these reflect where our church is now? Number three, pursue counsel and wisdom from outside of your church. Renew Arkansas may be the step you want to take. At the least, speak with your AM, incredible guy who's there, who wants to see your church renewed. Most of our AMs have gone through some training through NAM with this as well. But speak with them. Let them help you take an honest evaluation of the church and the current condition of the church. And then he says, number four, bring a recommendation to your congregation. And five, trust God and move forward in humility and faith. I'd encourage you as listeners, hey, pick up that book. It's a great little book, great read. Got a lot of good stuff in it. And we look forward to seeing you at Econ this year. Stop by, see us. If you have questions about Renew Arkansas, let us know. Hey, if you've got some ideas for a future episode of Mission Eyes, stop by and see us at Econ and give us your ideas as well. As always, we're grateful that you've chosen to spend your time with us today. And we just wish you a happy new year that is filled with an incredible movement of the Spirit of God in the life of your church. If we can help you in any way, give us a call. Been good to be with you. See you in a couple of weeks.
Thanks for joining the Missions Guys today. If you liked what you heard, rate and review us on your favorite podcasting platform. And to keep up with what is happening in Arkansas Missions, visit absc.org/missions.